Rethinking indoor air to stop the spread of COVID-19. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. As we learn more about how COVID-19 spreads, it's clear that airflow is a big deal. That's why masks are effective at slowing infection. But that's a problem for offices and commercial buildings and some homes, because over the last couple of decades, buildings have less ventilation. They recirculate air to save energy by not letting that cooled or heated air escape. But these buildings also end up recirculating viruses, especially if heating and cooling systems aren't paired with really good filters that remove viral particles from the air. Jeff Siegel is a professor of engineering at the University of Toronto who specializes in indoor air quality. He says, sadly, it's a great time to talk about all of this.
Now, all of a sudden, you know, I hear people talking about ventilation and filters, and I think that will have real positive effects because, you know, those things can certainly help us in reducing the risk of COVID, but they'll also help us have better indoor air quality, which has just a host of other benefits in terms of, you know, sick leave, productivity, cognitive function, respiratory health. To the extent there's a silver lining, there's an opportunity here too.
It is my understanding that a lot of existing HVAC systems, particularly in commercial buildings, do recirculate a lot of air in order to keep either cooled or heated air in the system, that was for efficiency purposes?
No, that's absolutely correct.
So in hindsight, was that a terrible mistake?
No, absolutely not. We have a climate crisis. Energy use associated with buildings is a very big part of our energy footprint. You know, conditioning that air is one of the big users of energy within a building. So it's important that we do it in an energy efficient manner. I think that the bigger problem is that we have to be much more cognizant of how we're managing ventilation. I think COVID adds some variables to kind of how we might manage ventilation. But in general, I think that we have the tools to do it. It might take some investment and so on. We just have to be a little bit more proactive and engaged in how we manage the ventilation in our systems.
So do these kind of hybrid solutions exist in a way that doesn't have to sacrifice efficiency?
Yes. You can imagine very simply a system, which is common in many buildings, that detects whether people are present. And if people are present, then, you know, you can provide more ventilation than when people aren't present. Obviously, energy matters, but I think most people would say that the COVID risk is larger, so we might choose to expend some energy. And I think we have lots of technology and sensors and lots of buildings that already do that. So I'm not proposing something very sophisticated here. In fact, it's done all the time. But again, I think the place where we need the attention is on the details of how it happens and on the kind of maintenance of those systems, as well as maybe doing things like, oh, we have to upgrade the filter in this system so that we can actually, when we are recirculating air, we can remove the particles that contain the virus from the air.
Jeff Siegel is a professor of engineering at the University of Toronto. The other thing affecting indoor air quality these days is wildfire smoke and air pollution. We'll have more with Siegel on that tomorrow. And now for some related links. First, Siegel wanted to make it clear, and so do I, that having good ventilation and filtration in buildings is not the only thing that's going to get us back to school and work safely. You still gotta wear a mask and wash your hands. But the tech for heating and cooling and filtering buildings is really interesting. Some architects and health officials have argued for years that our methods of recirculating air are totally unhygienic. I mean, think about what happens when one person in an office gets the flu or a common cold, for example. European engineers have recommended that building managers there stop recirculating air when there's been a COVID-19 outbreak and move toward what they call hygiene ventilation, where fresh air comes in from the outside and well-insulated buildings store heat or cold, sometimes known as passive heating and cooling. But of course, when the air is polluted or full of wildfire smoke, then what? Like I said, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Sadly, we talked a little bit about keeping air clean in wildfire season last year in our series on adapting to climate change called How We Survive. There's a link to that story at our website, marketplacetech.org. And the whole series is at marketplace.org/climate. Oh, and if you don't live anywhere near California and you're wondering why your air quality isn't great, that's us. Smoke from the state's wildfires is creating haze and poor air quality as far east as Kansas, and could make it all the way to the East Coast by the end of this week. Climate change is everyone's problem, friends. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.